Hey Solomon, this is J. Rosemary. Are you tired of feeling overwhelmed and alone? I know when my children were younger, there was a lot of times I felt alone. That's why I started Solomon's Talk, this podcast. But you're not alone. You don't have to parent alone. And I keep repeating it because it's something that it seems we are convinced that we are alone. But reach out to me. I'm here for you. I can talk you through anything that's going through your mind because believe me, I've gone through some stuff. You can tell from listening to these podcasts that I empathize with you and I understand and can connect with what's happening with you. So click the link below and book a one-on-one with me. We could just chat. No obligation, no commitment, just chat. And so don't parent alone. Click the link below and book a chat with me. And no obligation, confidential, and safe place to talk about you.
Tired, weary, frustrated? What would you be doing if you weren't raising children alone? What's stopping you from living your best life now? On Solomom's Talk, I discuss with solo mothers the challenges you face raising children alone. So if you're a working solo mom, dealing with independent children, insensitive bosses, weight and health issues, or even debt collectors, join us as we discover your path to get and stay healthy, increase your income, and live with joy and purpose. In this battle of life, it's hard to keep your head above the water. So win this fight. My guest today is Jenny Lisk. Thanks for coming and speaking to us today, Jenny.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks for having me on. I've really been looking forward to this.
Sure. And thanks. Thanks for coming and talking to us. You are the author of Future Widow and the host of, tell me the name of your podcast again.
It's called The Widowed Parent Podcast.
The Widowed Parent Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny's also mom of two daughters.
A daughter and a son. Yep. Two teenagers. Yep.
Okay. So we have to get it right.
No worries.
All right. So first of all, I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourself, Jenny.
Sure. So I live in Seattle, Washington. And like you said, I host the Widowed Parent Podcast. And I'm also an author now. So it's very exciting. My book came out this year. And well, I'm not sure how deep you want me to go right now. Do you want me to talk about how I became a solo mom?
Be free. Yeah, definitely that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, it started in the most unremarkable way you could maybe imagine. My husband said he'd been feeling a little bit dizzy, you know, and it's like dizzy. Okay. I mean, we're busy. Maybe he's overtired. Maybe he's dehydrated, right? I mean, who knows? It was a Friday night, so it didn't seem like, you know, the only option really would have been to like run to the emergency room, but he wasn't passing out or anything, right?
Right.
So you can imagine my complete shock when we do see the primary care doctor a couple of weeks later, and he does an MRI and he says, there's something really wrong with your brain. You need to go see the neurosurgeon tomorrow.
Mm.
Now, normally, you know, surgeons don't see people that fast, right?
Yeah.
And so the neurosurgeon says, well, we need to cut your skull open the following day.
Mm.
And it was like the shock, like what is happening, right?
Yeah.
And it was the start really of 8 months of grief and chaos and the start of a really tragic situation because in under a year's time, my 9-year-old and my 11-year-old, they were going to have a dead dad.
Aww.
And I was going to be a widowed parent. And I felt lost, right? Like, how do I do this? I didn't ask for this job. I don't know how to do it. I know how to be a regular parent well enough.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know how to parent grieving kids.
Yeah.
So I knew I needed to do something about that. Yeah. And I realized, like, like, I couldn't be the only widowed parent feeling this way, right? And so, and because what it really comes down to for me is I think that every parent, every kid deserves a chance to thrive, even if their parent has died.
Yeah.
Right? So how could I learn and do things to try to help that, both for my own kids, but also for all the other, you know, I realize there are lots of widowed parents out there, unfortunately, and there are more now with the pandemic. In normal times, one in 14 kids will lose a parent or sibling before they turn 18.
Wow, that's pretty high. Yeah.
And that's a U.S. number. I don't know what the number is for Canada, where you are. And there are different numbers in each state in the U.S. So some states like West Virginia, the numbers are much higher. In my state, it's slightly lower, like one in 17, I think. But anyway, that's a lot of kids who will lose a parent or a sibling. And by the way, the majority, far big majority of that is parent loss. They're in the sibling loss is a much smaller percentage of that. So I realized that I should do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I could start a podcast and go out and interview people. And if I recorded those interviews, I could share out what I was learning with whoever wanted to listen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, realistically, most people who are widowed parents are not going to be taking the time to go and, you know, do all these interviews themselves. But I could do that for them, right? Yeah. And then you just, I mean, as you know, podcast, throw it on your phone and listen while you're doing the dishes or driving around or walking the dog. So that's kind of how it all started. And I started the podcast back, actually, it was November this time in 2018.
Okay.
So it's been 3 years. November is Children's Grief Awareness Month. So it was a perfect time to start the podcast.
Right.
And a perfect time to be talking to you here about this as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. I can't imagine that being a mother of young children too, and then having to go through the process of watching your husband die, basically.
Right.
There's so much loss. Like, you know, it's not just that he's gone. There's a lot of loss there.
Oh yeah. 8 months of caregiving is not easy and not fun and not something I would wish on anybody.
Yeah. But it's, you know, I mean, what do you say about that?
Yeah.
So tell me, you know, I'm very sorry that happened the way it did and that it, you know, it's just not a pleasant place to be. But you're here and you're supporting your children, you're raising them. And beyond that, you're sharing what you know and what you've experienced with others and allowing others to express their feelings about their situation, you know, their grieving process. So, you know, that's really appreciated. You know, I've never had a spouse die, I've had, you know, them run away and not come back. But
which is also hard in a very different way, right?
Yes, you know, it's different. Tell me how do you walk a 9-year-old and a 11-year-old, you said?
Yep, at the time, yep.
And the 9-year-old through process of daddy's dying. I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, well, you know, that, of course, was one of the biggest questions that I had, because everything felt like I didn't know, and it felt like I have to get this right, whatever right means, right? Like, I feel like I could really screw things up here if I handle this wrong, or I could do this okay if I learn some stuff, maybe. And so one of the things, so I actually, it's a good question. I put together this bookmark. I don't know if you can see it.
Okay.
Tips for parents. And I got five things in it. Cause when I wrote my book, I was like, you know what? I need a quick, you know, quick hit couple of tips, right? And I think the number one thing is to be honest with kids about difficult topics, which includes death and cancer and terminal illness and all of these terrible things. And it's one of the things, you know, I think, so the thing is, everyone wants to protect their kids, obviously. The question really is, what does protecting your kids mean in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, sometimes, or too often maybe, it gets interpreted as hiding something from them, not telling them the truth, not telling them that, first of all, keeping them updated in an age-appropriate way and, you know, words they can understand.
Yes.
About what's happening, about what you know, about what you don't know, about what you're waiting for, you know, things like that. Like, you know, we're having a test and we'll know more next week, you know, like, mm-hmm, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The really interesting thing that I learned later, after I went through all this and I started the podcast, one of my guests on the show, her name is Lauren Schneider, and she works at Our House Grief Support Center in Los Angeles. Still, I think one of the most impactful things that I learned is how important it is to be honest with kids. And there's a few reasons for that. One is that kids are super perceptive, and so they can tell that something is kind of off, even if they don't really know exactly what. You know, maybe if their parent doesn't level with them, and, you know, then they start noticing, like, whenever they come in the room, the adults were talking, and they get quiet, or, you know, and then, like, and so part of the problem is they'll make up, you know, kids are creative thinkers and stuff, and they'll make up a scenario that might even be worse or scarier than whatever the truth is.
Well, it's not just kids.
Yeah, well, that's true, right? That's true. So, yeah. So that's part of the problem. And then the other part of the problem is that eventually they will find out, mm-hmm, whether you end up telling them later when they get older, whether they hear about it on the playground from another kid because maybe another kid knows the truth that they don't know, whether, you know, if it was something like a homicide that might have been in the newspaper and they Google it and they find out that way or something. I mean, kids, eventually they find out somewhere.
Yeah.
So what happens then? It turns out that the bond of trust between the kid and the surviving parent is super, super important.
Yeah.
Both in its own sake, because that parent is the primary supporter now of this kid, you know, emotionally and everything else, but also because that pattern of a trusting relationship forms the pattern for all future trusting relationships that they may have, whether that's with a future partner, a future colleague, a future close friend, right? That if that bond of trust with that surviving parent is ruptured, it actually sets up a really difficult pattern for the kid to be able to have future close, intimate, trusting relationships, like emotional closeness, right?
Yes, definitely.
So it turns out that being honest, even though it's horrible, even though having to say to your kid, the doctors can't fix this, and then they say, is daddy going to die? And you say, yeah, he is, and I'm sorry, this is awful, right? Like, but if you, oh, no, it'll be fine, you know, oh, they'll fix it, but you know, then later they find out that you knew and that, you know, you lied to them or you didn't, you know, it's kind of like, there's no really lovely way to have this discussion. It's going to be horrible any way you do it, but there are ways to make it worse. And that would be by not being honest about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. And how do you, falling apart because your best friend, your partner is leaving you, you know, it's expected, but you have to take care of these two, you know, because as far as you can tell, they'll be here for a long time. So how do you as mom handle that without falling apart?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. You know, I found a really good therapist. At first I was like, therapist, who needs one of those, right? I'll just talk to my friends and I'll just read some books. And I did talk to my friends and I did read books, right? I found a lot of great books. But eventually I was like, you know what? I should find a therapist. And so that was really great to have a professional to talk to. And the funny thing is, you know, what starts out in talking about grief ends up eventually becoming about life, broadly speaking, right? Because now here I am at the time 43 and I was still alive. And I was like, I still had another 50% or hopefully more of my life left to go, right? So what does that look like? So that was one thing. Another thing, and there's a really terrific resource. It's called Camp Widow. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's run by Soaring Spirits, which is an organization based in California. And it's a widow support, broadly speaking. They do a lot of different things. And one of the things they do is they run this thing called Camp Widow, which is not camping. It's like a conference, basically, but Camp Widow sounds a lot cooler than, like, you know, widow conference. And they run it like three times a year, once in Toronto, once in Florida, and once in San Diego. And so, you know, widowed people of all ages, a lot of them are, you know, in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, may have little kids, teenagers, might have grown kids, might not have kids, go there and they have, you know, speakers and workshops and they do fun stuff. Like, it's just great to connect with other widowed people who get it, right?
Yeah.
So I'd encourage your listeners, you know, if you're widowed, check them out. It's called Camp Widow. widow, because, and they just did it in San Diego in person last month, I think. And so I'm sure, you know, I don't know what the plans are for next year, but as a terrific group. So that was good. Lots of books. It turns out I have a nice collection of widowed parent friends here that I just happen to know, like not people that I met through the podcast, but like people in my neighborhood and my kids' school community and stuff that were also widowed parents. And so finding people like that you can connect with. And even if you're going out for dinner and half the time you're talking about random stuff and then grief comes up and then something else comes up and then, you know, it's just like having people to relate to, I think is really, really helpful as well.
Yeah, I could see that. Therapy helps you not just focus on the grief, but to try to move beyond, right? I would think.
Yeah, because I realized, here's one of the things I realized. So my husband died. His name was Dennis. He died at age 44.
So young.
He got like half of a life. I mean, who knows how long any of us is going to live, but I feel like that's about half of what he, you know, maybe should have gotten. And I realized that I was 43, like I said, if I kind of half-heartedly live the rest of my life, 50 or 60 more years, that would kind of make the situation doubly tragic. Right? It was already tragic that he got half of a life, and I couldn't change that. There was no magic wand that would undo that.
Right.
What I did have control over is what I chose to do with my remaining decades.
Yes.
So it was helpful to kind of shift my thinking in that way and realize that it's kind of a two-edged sword, right? I had to define what was next for me, and I got to define what was next for me.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you. And thanks for sharing one and two. Thanks for the way you went about it. Not a lot of us could have. And now you're sharing that with others. And I'm grateful for that because, you know, we all need some help, and especially in that situation.
Yeah. And sadly, there's a lot more widowed parents now, right? I mean, there's all the people who are dying
COVID.
Is everybody still dying from cancer and car accidents and suicides and airplane crashes and everything else people are dying from in a regular year. And add to that all the people who are losing people to COVID. It's just the problem is enormous.
Yeah, definitely. So what kind of support do you offer to a grieving parent? One, I know you do the podcast and you've written the book. Anything else?
Well, I think the podcast is the best place to start. And so it's actually widowedparentpodcast.com. You can get right to, there's over 100 interviews now, and it's a mix of experts, you know, grief experts and children's grief experts and people who have expertise on different aspects, you know, that would be of interest to widowed parents. And then interviews with fellow widowed parents who are a bit down the road who are sharing their stories. And I should point out, it's definitely not just moms. I really make a point of interviewing moms and dads and have listeners who are moms and dads, because I think it's really important and there aren't as many resources, sadly, for widowed dads. And then the other really interesting category of interviews is people who are now adults. And when they were a kid or a teenager, one of their parents died. And they're reflecting on, you know, what they wish they had known or done, or the adults around them had known or done. And I feel like in order to try to best understand what my kids are going through, hearing that perspective from the, you know, the perspective of a grown up grieving child is really helpful. So there's that. And then the book, actually, it's called Future Widow. It's actually for all grieving people. I've had a lot of people read it who've told me, oh, I wasn't sure I should read it because I don't have a terminally ill spouse or I'm not a widowed parent. But, you know, I'm grieving this other loss and it turns out it was really helpful for me too. So there's that. Right now, those are the main two. Well, of course, I have an email list. And so I'm sharing out resources. And my website, jennylisk.com, is the best way to get. Oh, and I almost forgot, actually. I do have a free downloaded guide. Kind of the top 10 things I've learned from my guests on the show.
Oh, okay.
And so that's a really good place to start too. And like I said, it's free and it's at jennylisk.com/top10.
Okay. So I'll put a link in the show notes for that. So
terrific. Thanks. Yeah. Those would be great places to start. The book, of course, is available everywhere. If you go to futurewidowbook.com, you can find your favorite retailer and get it that way.
Great. Thank you. And what is Jenny grateful for today?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. What am I grateful for today? You know, I'm grateful that I have plenty of interesting things to be working on right now. I am not bored. I am never bored. I'm giving a presentation week after next for grief allies, actually, for people who are wanting to support their friends, family, neighbors, colleagues who are grieving or going through a crisis situation. So, you know, know, putting the finishing touches on that. So I guess my point is I'm grateful for having plenty of interesting things to be doing every day.
Yes, you're busy helping grieving parents and kids. So and that in itself is you know, a lot of work, I'm sure. But yeah. Good work.
Yeah. It's always something interesting to work on, and I'm not sure when this is running, but I've got some, it is Children's Grief Awareness Month, so I've got some promotions going on, some giveaways going on as well. So if this posts while it's still November, then check those out as well.
Oh, I definitely will, because of that, you know, simply because of that.
Oh, great. Well, So JennyLisk.com/giveaway has those. And actually next week, so the 8th through the 12th of November, I'm giving away 5 books, mine plus 4 others would all be of interest to widowed parents.
All right.
So yeah, it's a free, you know, signed copies of, you know, print books. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool thing.
That's the free stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, thanks. And so having all of this going on with you and being busy working and taking care of your children, how do you practice self-care? And what, you know, what does that look like for you?
Well, what I'm really trying to focus on is making sure I get enough sleep. I don't always do a good job of that, but I find that's kind of a baseline, like a fundamental. Like,
yes,
you know, if I don't have enough sleep, it doesn't matter if I do a bubble bath or a this or a that or whatever, right? Like,
true.
Getting enough sleep makes everything better, and not getting enough sleep makes everything harder. So yes. I'm really trying to focus on that as the foundation. And, you know, early in the pandemic, I decided that might have been one of the most protective things I could do to try to, like, it's not like that would keep me from getting sick, but if I was overtired, I thought I might be, my body would be weaker and I might be more vulnerable. So I just decided to start catching up on sleep. And I think I erased like 30 years of sleep debt. So my husband and I used to joke about how I had sleep debt from college, you know, 10, 20 and 30 years later, I still had sleep debt from college. I think I erased all that in the early months of the pandemic by deliberately trying to sleep more. So yeah.
Good for you, because, you know, if you don't do it, your body will do it for you. So
True.
Yes. Yep. Thank you very much, Jenny Lisk. Anything else?
No, this has been great. Thank you, Jen. I'd encourage people to, again, check out the giveaway, if it's in JennyLisk.com/giveaway.
Okay.
For some pretty cool books there.
Okay. And any parting advice for a solo mom who is going through the grieving process with their children? Yeah.
You know, what I would say is that grief support is like swimming lessons. You don't wait until your kid's drowning and then say, oh, I think I should give them swimming lessons. You go ahead and set them up with swimming lessons ahead of time to give them a valuable life skill. And I think that if, you know, someone is a solo mom of grieving kids, realizing the grief support for them and for yourself, you don't have to wait until you get to some threshold. Like, how do I know if it's bad enough? Oh, now I'll sign them up for, you know, for grief support. Yeah. Don't wait until they're drowning. You know, if you go ahead and proactively look for something like that, there are some valuable life skills that, you know, can end up being helpful in the long term for yourself and for your kids.
Yeah, very good advice. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Hello, solo moms. As a solo mom of 3 adult sons, I understand the challenges you face on a daily basis. As a mentor, my mission is to help you shift your mindset and empower you to take control of your life, to see yourself as God sees you. I know that unresolved trauma can be a heavy burden to carry, and parenting alone can be a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be that way. I want you to know that you are not alone. You have the strength and resilience to overcome your challenges and create the life you desire. I want to help you to make the effort to tackle unresolved trauma and change your perspective so you can live the life you deserve. I offer complimentary consultation where we can discuss how to move forward, create a plan to help you heal, and empower you. You can schedule a consultation by emailing me at jen@jrosemarie.com or by calling +1 917 994 1329 or schedule a consultation with the link below. I am here for you, and I want to help you take the first step towards healing and empowerment. Don't let unresolved trauma hold you back any longer.
don't parent in silence. So take action today and let's work together to empower you to live the life you desire.